On FM, on DAB, and up to date on social media. We are Radio Newark. Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Tonight, footballing brothers talk about a lifetime playing and watching the sport they love. Eric and Billy Coombs make their debut at Sport HQ. Chris Hassell updates us on another busy weekend for Newark and Sherwood's number one club. And we look back and forward at the weekend sport. Welcome to the renowned Radio Newark Sport. Is that renowned? That didn't work. Note to self, bring a hammer next week. Southwell City bow out of the Notts Senior Cup, beaten 4-1 at Selston. Remember, Mr. Smith said they stood a chance. Cycling's Judy Tott raced to a win in the under-12s category race in round 10 of the West Midlands Cyclocross League held at the University of Worcester. That was on Sunday. And Zoe Codd racing for the Velo Club of Flintham raced in the Veterans Women event. That was stage 5 at Trinity Park, Ipswich. And on Saturday, and she finished a creditable 13th, with all the UK top riders taking part. Cracking effort, Zoe, well done. Sticking with cycling, but going, shall we say, big time. Four-time Tour de France champion Chris Froome says Team Sky will be doing everything we can to survive once their owner and main sponsor pulls out at the end of 2019. Broadcaster Sky announced earlier on Wednesday that they would end its decade-long commitment after next season. I can't predict the future, but this is a really special team, said Froome, who won in Italy last May. We plan to be together in 2020, if at all possible. And Stoke City will help pay for repairs at Port Vale Stadium after trouble broke out at the local derby. The Championship Club agreed to donate the money towards the repair of Vale Park, which was damaged at a match between the club's under-21 sides on the 4th of December. The Port Vale police said a large section of Stoke fans had been disruptive. Seats, toilets and windows were all broken in the away stand. And I thought those days had gone. Did you think those days had gone, Mr. Smith?
Well, you know what the like in the potter is. We've got a chairman from there. By the way, it was the Stoke under-21s, Portville first team.
Well, whatever, that was in the Carabao Cup then, was it?
It was that competition that's sponsored by Mickey Mouse, yeah.
Yes. Well, Lincoln won't thank you for saying that, will they?
It's a bit like the Europa League, you know. Good luck, Chelsea.
Southwell City bowing out of the Senior Cup 4-1 at Selston.
It just shows the massive difference, and we've shown the massive difference already this season between the Notts Senior League and the EMC, but it just shows you Selston can beat Southwell 4-1 when Southwell are 6 points clear at the top of the Notts Senior. It just shows the difference between step six and step seven football.
A lot of the difference is fitness. I'm not saying it's not skill, but a lot of the difference is fitness.
I said step five by mistake there. I was just thinking ahead.
Yeah. I stopped thinking ahead an awful long time ago. You end up with egg on your face if you do tricks like that.
Could tell by the start of the programme.
Yeah. Well, it's just, I know to amber it next time. Be gentle, they tell me.
Yeah.
Sky pulling out of cycling?
It's massive change, isn't it? At last, a story about cycling that's not a shot in the arm. But, yeah, I mean, Sky TV has done wonderful things for sport, if you're allowed Sky Television, which I'm not. But I don't think anybody would want to be associated with cycling these days. I'm not surprised they pulled out because...
Do you think that's why they are pulling out?
I wouldn't be at all surprised because the sport is just, you know, I mean...
I mean, if that's the case, it's a sad day for cycling. I mean, we've just got 5 Tour de France's on the bounce or something.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just... They've got too much of a history with drugs in cycling for it to be a credible sport anymore.
Yeah, but when they went into it, they knew the history.
Yeah, but, you know, with Sky, they thought probably thought we could make a bob or two out of it. So, I don't know enough about cycling and its politics to give an educated comment, but, I mean, it's a really, really, it's a tainted sport, isn't it?
I wouldn't expect to give an educated comment.
No.
I know you too well.
Couldn't even spell educated.
Right. You've only just got round and renowned. Our special guests tonight have been playing football and watching football all their lives. In fact, anywhere you go where they know football, you will see these two nowadays on the touchline. They even appear at places like Sherwood and... Well, you wouldn't really want to go, but that's where they appear. So we welcome...
Hello, Sherwood.
You've got room to talk when it comes to Sherwood. We welcome Eric and Billy Coombs to the studio. Welcome, yep. Boys.
Thank you very much.
I'd say you've been playing and watching football. I think... let's just start this one right at the beginning and get this one out of the way. I will never ask a lady how old they are, but I can ask a gentleman. Eric?
I'm 76.
Billy?
I'm 72.
76 and 72. So I think this is going to be an evening of a little bit of nostalgia, and we're going to be going back an awful long time, and we're going to be mentioning an awful lot of names that people are going to know out there. I think in the days when... nowadays, it's all about primary school sport, which starts people off. I think in your days, it was something called the Newark Boys Club.
We both played for the boys' club, but we also played school soccer, representing Newark against many of the local area sides like Sutton, Mansfield, Nottingham, and various places around Gainsborough. That was usually on a Saturday morning, usually at the stadium.
So this was the Newark schools.
Newark schools
had a
yes.
team.
Yes, and then we both played for the boys' club. And the boys club had a very strong side.
I'm learning a lot tonight, and so is Tony, because he comes from Yorkshire, so he won't understand a lot of things. Tell me all about, Eric, the Newark Boys Club. What was it all about? Is it a bit like the Scouts or that sort of thing? What is the Newark Boys Club?
We used to generally meet Monday, Wednesday, Friday nights, and we'd play snooker, billiards, table tennis. There'd be chess, darts, drafts available. On the Tuesday night, we'd often be training for football or after a year or two for cross-country running, because cross-country in the NABC world was fairly big, and the boys' club decided to have a shot at the National Cross-Country Championships that were held in... Nottingham in 1958-59, I'm not sure which year, and the boys' club entered a team there which consisted of six runners and three different age groups, and we did very, very well, winning every single trophy that was available on the day, both the individual events and the team events. And swept the board, and that was all through the efforts of the boys' club leader, a man called Frederick Payne, who was a great motivator.
So where was the boys' club?
It was on George Street. The remnants of it are still there now. And we used to have a ground, not a particularly good pitch, at the side of Croda Adhesives, and we used to get changed in a brick building in Croda Factory, and that's where we played.
So is that where Tudors ended up playing on a Sunday? I remember a pitch down there.
There was a pitch on the way down to the sewage works, you'd got the aroma of the sewage works if the wind was in the wrong direction.
Wonderful. So that was the... early days, the school days. You played for Newark. Both of you played for Newark at school.
Up to under 18, and in those days, at all age groups, the boys' club had a very strong side.
Because was there such thing as as we know youth football now. No,
youth league, yes. It was run by a man called Sandaver. I forget his Christian name. But he ran it. This was before the days of John Crampton, who also ran the youth league.
And that was, and I would probably suggest then all the villages had their own teams and all the factories probably had their own teams. And,
oh, yes.
Yeah.
We played many of the villages in and around Newark area and many teams. You'd go out, you'd cycle. There was no cars or anything. You'd cycle, say, to Brantbrewton and play Brantbrewton. You'd cycle to Muscombe or Sutton-on-Trent and play them.
Tied out for a gauntlet. And Billy, was you playing in the same team as that?
No, it was a different age group.
I was a different age group.
Right.
I was 3 or 4 years below Eric.
But the principal
was the same.
The principal was the same. You was coming through.
And you was playing for your school team, and all schools had teams which played at the stadium. And obviously, the stadium was a ground for the schools, for the school and school only. And it's still there to this day, but nobody plays on the stadium.
You're right, it is still there. Probably not for much longer, but it is. It is still there.
And there used to be stand there and changing rooms.
So what school did you go to?
I used to go to Balderton, which is on London Road, which is the...
So what we now call John Hunt?
Yes.
Yes?
That was Balderton.
That was Balderton School?
That was Balderton School, yes.
And they'd got their own pitch at the back of the school?
No, we used to play on the Grove.
All right.
On the Grove School player field. There was no pitch at the back of the school them days.
Because I was always tell you about a goal I scored on that pitch at the back of the school in the primary school's cup. Mm. I have mentioned it before.
That was later.
That was later.
Yeah, but you had to walk down to play football on the Grove, because the hostel there, Grove Hostel, and the pitch was at the back of there.
That was before the Grove school was there.
Yes.
We used to get changed in the stables at the side of the big house that's still there that I believe is not used now.
No, it's derelict now, isn't it?
Yeah.
The big houses, but at the back, that's where they keep the equipment.
Yes, and you used to play up the field there then? You played your football in that area?
There used to be 3 or 4 football pitches.
Pitches, two or three hockey
pitches.
Hockey pitches, yes.
Yeah, but obviously nowadays they can't play hockey on.
I say Yorlin would have 40 fits having to play hockey on grass.
That's probably where she learned it. No, she used to be stood at the back of the side of the football pitch every night.
Because, of course, what we have got here is the father of Lincolns and the father of Clive. And, of course, Clive, Tony and I have spent all our careers watching Clive's own unique way of tackling. Sorry, Clive. Let's go back to you two, and I want to take this up until 18, and then in the second half we'll talk from 18 onwards.
Yeah.
School and after school, Balderton School, as it was called.
I played at Balderton School, but then I went to the technical college and played for the technical college, and I was the captain of the football team there. And we played on the stadium as our home ground, as well as at the weekends. Usually the prize giving was given by Mr. Tid Pratt, who we always understood owned the stadium. But in recent years, people have said he didn't really own the stadium. But I don't know. I don't know.
It all seems to be sort
quite
of...
quite what happened.
It's always a mix a little
but
bit.
But he used to come and always present the prizes.
Good stuff. Then, so from technical college, you went on to work...
I went to the boys' club. I did have a short period with Jerry Fell Sr. at Hall's Brewery, but I was playing for the boys' club, but if we didn't have a game, Jerry Fell would ask me to play for Hall's senior side. This was Jerry Fell Senior.
And where did they play?
And they played on Hall's Brewery,
which
was next to Courage Ground, which is now
Sugarbeet.
It's near the Sugarbeet factory.
Yeah.
But Courage Ground is now where the cattle market is.
Yeah, the road in the cattle market sorted all that out, didn't it? The old youth league ground, as I called it.
Yeah, well, that was Currie's.
Sold, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
And so that was your lead up to senior football, and your lead up to senior football?
I went to the boys' club. I played to the boys' club, and I was moved from football, and I got scouted and went to Nottingham Forest.
Right, we'll talk about Forest after we've talked wheelchair basketball. We'll talk about Forest there. Work. Where did you both started? Where was your early days of work? Because in those days,
my day started when I was 15. I was apprenticed. Well, not apprenticed at 15, but I'd signed papers at 16 to be apprentice. And at that time, I was on with Forest, and I couldn't sign for Forest because I'd signed apprentice papers to be apprenticed.
Where at?
At Foster's Builders.
Foster's Builders?
Yes, and they built all the bolt houses in Boulderton.
They built the outside living. And you couldn't sign for Forest then because you signed...
No, it was agreement that if you was apprentice, you was apprenticed until you come out your time.
And Eric, where did you...
I served an apprenticeship at Ransom and Malls as a joiner, but then I went into the drawing office because... I was academically fairly reasonable, and they wanted me in the drawing office. So I moved to the drawing office and carried on schooling and stayed there. But I wanted to get into the outside building contracts and contracting, and I finished up as a site foreman, moving to the very first site at Southall at about 22, 23.
Okay, and that takes us up to senior football for you both, and that's what we're going to talk about in about 10 minutes' time. But coming up next, Chris Hassell and the wonderful Jags basketball. It's been an interesting few days for the Jaguars Wheelchair Basketball Club, and I think that's to say the least, but I'll let the man in the know tell you all about it. Chris Hassell, welcome back to Radio Newark.
Hi there, Mick.
It has been an interesting few days, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So, on court and off the court.
Talk us through the week.
Right, so to talk through the week. First off, obviously the Jaguars were nominated at the Newark and Sherwood Sports Awards, and we were awarded Club of the Year, which is cool. So, really, really pleased about that. So, obviously the club worked really hard in the local area to get as many people involved in wheelchair basketball, and they're really, really pleased that that's been basically reflected and rewarded in that particular award last week. So that was great.
And very well deserved, and unanimous approval from everybody I've spoken to. So wholehearted congratulations on that one, Chris.
Thank you very much, Mick. Thank you.
On court.
On court, yes. So on court was a trip away to abroad. So the second team went abroad to the north of England. We went all the way to Newcastle, and we played a really tough game against. Actually, we beat Newcastle Eagles, the team we played earlier on in the year. But the actual people that played were very, very different this time. So unfortunately, this time we were beaten. So we were beaten about 66-41 up there in Newcastle. Team played really well. But I've got a very young team at the moment, and they were playing a very experienced team. So there could have actually been 25 years difference in the average age of the people that were playing. Now, on the one hand, that's good for us because that means we've got, if you like, young bodies that are quick and able in that sense. But the thing with older bodies that have been playing this for a while is that they're old and wily, and they know what to do and how to do it. And they beat us on that basis, so it was a great day. We enjoyed ourselves, long journey, but that was good. So that was Jags 2, and then Jags 1 went to the other side of the world, virtually. So they went over to Belfast. It was an experience to get there through the storms of the of the sea from Stranraer over the water to Northern Ireland. They went over there and they were beaten by Belfast Knights that play in Northern Ireland. They were actually beaten by 17, which isn't a bad result because they've got some really, really good players over there in Northern Ireland. team enjoy themselves. So I think this is what's important too. So, you know, they actually left on Friday morning and got back on Sunday night just for one game of basketball, two nights overway. We couldn't do it in one because of all the driving and the transport involved. But, you know, the guys enjoyed themselves, and that's important too. So, so two tough games, unfortunately two losses. But, you know, that's what wheelchair basketball's all about. We still enjoyed it, and we go on to the next matches. And most importantly, coming up is tomorrow we have our annual Christmas party, which is a real event in the Jags calendar. So this is the one time in the year where we bring a shedload of wheelchairs and get all the parents and carers and helpers and the like into wheelchairs on one day and say, you know, you basically go out there and have a go. So there will be an awful lot of people tomorrow at the Magna Sports Centre. If you like trying their hardest at wheelchair basketball, it won't be a proper training session. It will just be a bit of fun and a few mince pies, of course.
It's impossible. I tried it. Absolutely, totally impossible. Chris,
it should be good fun.
Yeah, I'm sure it absolutely will be. Enjoy your party tomorrow night. Enjoy your Christmas, and everybody at the Jags enjoy theirs. We'll catch up with you again in the new year. And once again, congratulations on becoming Newark and Sherwood number one club.
Thank you very much, and happy Christmas to you and all your listeners, mate.
Thanks, Chris. We'll talk to you soon.
Cheers, then. Bye.
Thanks, bye. So let's just put this into perspective, shall we? Two teams played from Jags last weekend. The second team went to Newcastle to play a game of basketball and come back. The first team left on Friday, drove to Stranraer, got the ferry to Ireland, played a game of basketball, got the ferry back, and arrived back on Sunday at some ridiculous hour. Two teams, two away matches. Their own wheelchairs and the sports wheelchairs had to be transported as well for both teams. They got two teams out. They played both matches. Don't let anybody whine that we can't get a football team to go 5 miles up the road.
Yeah, but I think Chris Hassel has got the same command of geography as myself if he thinks Northern Ireland is the other side of the world.
Have you been to Belfast?
Yes. I went to Belfast during the Troubles. That was interesting.
But, I mean, isn't that a fantastic effort? I mean, it's a fantastic effort getting one team to travel as far as Newcastle or Belfast to get two teams out to travel those distances.
I mean, we discussed it last night, didn't we, when we were going through the A to Z of sport, and the fact that a lot of football teams don't like travelling beyond the shadow of the church spire, whereas the disabled people go to
outside the world.
Northern Ireland, you know, Edinburgh, they don't think twice about going to Glasgow and back, you know, over a weekend. It's just incredible. And they all turn up and nobody pulls out through injury or anything. It's just amazing. You
know, we can learn an awful lot from.
But when BG folded, somebody pulled out because they had a barbecue.
There you go. We can learn an awful lot from the Jaguars Wheelchair Basketball Club. You're listening to Radio Newark Sport, and it's time for me to have a quick look back at last weekend's sporting headlines. And Newark Town announced that Damo Parkinson is their new manager. Tony Joynes returns as his assistant. Newark Flowserve win at Eastwood thanks to Sam Agar brace. Selston's matches abandoned. And the Works top of the table. Newark Rugby Club was singing in the rain. A moment of magic from Captain Will Britton sets them up to beat the noisy neighbours in front of a distinctly wet 500 supporters at Kelham Road. The Hockey Ladies bow out of the cup, but they made opponents Lincoln work very hard for their victory. And success for both the men and the women of Newark Tennis Club with victories over Collingham and Sutton in Ashfield. And finally, Striders runner Ruth Mount Stevens was at the Great Sprout Scuttle. Yes, it's that time of year.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
Okay.
On Saturday...
Oh, you're still there, are you?
I was sitting next to these two gentlemen in the stand, right behind the shot by Sam Agar for the second goal. Would you give it to Sam Agar, or was it an own goal off an Eastwood defender?
I think that was an own goal off an Eastwood defender. I can't see any way that was a goal for Sam Agar.
Well, That's what I said.
Wrong answer. It's a brace for Sam Agar. The press say it was a brace, so it was a brace. Billy, can we stick with you?
Yes.
Because, Forest.
Yes.
Tell me.
Yes, I went from Notts Boys Club, from tryout. I used to play for Notts Boys. And then I'd won nearly 2 years at Forest. And played with, I can mention one or two names, I suppose. Ian Storymore. I was captain of that team with Ian Storymore and Sam Chapman. Bill Brindley. And I went twice with the first team, but I didn't play. I was on the bus, because them days you never had a sub. You was either in the 11 or that was it.
Who was manager then?
I was under Billy Graham.
Billy Graham?
Yes. Yeah. He was on the youth side.
What was it like at professional football?
Professional
club.
Football. There wasn't the money in it them days. I used to get my bus money, as I say, bus money. I used to get the Notts bus from Notts bus station for training. I used to get it at 6 o'clock at night, get there for 7, because it used to take an hour on the bus, on a gaseous bus, do my training, and hopefully catch the 9 o'clock bus back. But if you miss the 9 o'clock bus, you had to have the 10 o'clock bus. And when you got back to Notts, there was no buses, so he'd walk from Newark to Boulderton. And that was my training night.
What do you think of footballers these days, professional footballers these days?
Well, that was part of the day. It didn't make no difference them days. Yeah.
Eric, while Billy was at the heights of one of the world's top professional football clubs, that's why you've not got the mic, Mr. Smith, where did you go?
At senior level, I went to Ransom and Malls.
And, of course, in those days, Ransom and Malls was one of the top amateur clubs
yes.
in the region.
There were. I didn't particularly like the travelling, and partly because I was at night school 3 nights a week, and there was other things as well as football to think about.
Ladies?
Yes.
Yes.
And
some things never change.
So I opted to play for the reserve some of the time, but did play for the first team for a while, with people like Jack Fryer, Roland Richardson, George Hughgill, Colin Goddard. There's quite a few. We played in various cup matches. One was the senior cup and got the semi-final playing on County's ground. And I was matched up against Colin Calderwood, an ex-Sheffield United or Wednesday player, who'd got a fearsome reputation for scoring goals, but I gave him a hard time.
And that was the semi-final on County's ground?
On County's ground.
Of course, as I say, I mean...
We did lose. I think we lost 3-1. I was left back and he was on the right wing, and he was having a hard time beating me, but in the second half he developed a limp and finished up on the left wing, and from there he did cut in at one occasion. Actually, I think he scored the opening goal for Arnold Town, but he was quite a useful player.
You see, it must be my memory playing tricks, because my memory of you was a winger.
No, I was always a fullback.
You must have been a flying fullback.
I was fairly quick.
Yeah.
When Worthington Simpson staged the Old Crocs versus Young Guns game. No, it wasn't Old Crocs versus Young Guns. It was Simmons versus Rail.
Yes.
I was dragged into playing in goal for British Rail. And Eric here scored one of Simo's 5 goals against me. I don't know if you remember that. That was New Year's Day.
No,
many
I
years
can't.
Ago.
I can't remember it.
You used to have a bit of a shot on you, didn't you?
I could hit a ball.
You
yes,
could hit a ball, because it was again. It's probably my memory playing tricks, but it was you and Jinnah for the hardest shot.
I don't know about that, but I could hit a ball if I wanted to.
Yeah, it was.
Usually with my left foot, but my right foot did come in handy sometimes. It was still fairly good, but not used very much.
When you finished at Forest then, Billy, what happened then?
Well, I finished at Forest because I broke my ankle playing for Forest, and I had x-rays and went in for an x-ray and found out I'd broken my ankle, and the x-ray... the other one, and I'd got an airline crack in that one as well. So, and I didn't play any more for Forest, and I never heard anything else. It was right at the end of the season, and then I obviously had the end of the season, and I ended up just playing a game for Ransford Moors. The next one, you know, come back and played for Ransford Moors.
So you both actually ended up at the same club?
At Ransford Moors, yes.
And of course, the olden days, the Elm Avenue pitch, I mean, it must make you so sad to see how it deteriorated over the years, but when you played on there, stand behind the goal, stand along the side, turnstiles to get in.
Yes.
Well, the pitch was tremendous, but we always said it lifted the opposition because they just weren't used to playing on a quality pitch, because in those days the pitch was probably better than some of the league clubs.
Yeah. And you got to remember that Ransford Moors players, first team, did get paid them days. Probably not a lot, but they did get paid.
So you see, Mr. Smith, it happened in those days.
Yes. And I played for an opposition against Ransford Moors, my first game at Ransford Moors. Turned out because they'd only turned up with 10 men, and I ended up playing, and I ended up playing on the right wing for this Ashbourne, I think it was. And I got a 10 shilling note. A 10 shilling note them days was a lot of money.
It would have been. It would have been.
Yeah.
And this was in what? The Midlands Division, is it? Would it be? Or what did the play in?
It was the Midlands League. Well, at one time it was the Midland League. And then did it change to the Midland Alliance? I'm not sure. But many of the teams that we still come across now, Ripley, Eastwood, Ashbourne, Matlock, Gainsborough were in one of the leagues. There was quite a few teams that were formidable opposition at the time.
So when did you end up at Lowfields? Move on from Ransford Moors to Timo's?
Well, the side gradually deteriorated and several players left, and I stayed loyal to Ransford Moors. And then eventually I did leave and go to Balderton Wanderers and played for two or three seasons for them. And they played in the Notts Combination in those days. But then I was asked to play for Worthington Simpsons, and moved on to them.
So who was your manager?
Of Balderton Wanderers?
Well, yeah, and then Simo's.
I think Ken Spicer was one of the managers, but there was one before him, but I can't remember his name. And then Simpsons, there was Vin Pickering, Fred Ogden, Johnny Handley, of course, he had a lot to do with the team as the captain. And John and I played for quite a few seasons together.
Billy, where did you stop?
No, Ransford Moors finished, and I was asked to play with Dave Smith. And that time I knew Dave because he was from out of town. And this is the teacher, Dave Smith. And I think they were struggling to get a side at British Railways, and ended up going to British Railways with George Good as it. He was the in charge at British Rail.
Because George Good is actually coming in here to do a
yes with John Mullarkey.
With John Mullarkey.
Yes,
January.
He was having a coffee with him the other day as it happened.
I think you'll find that I went to British Railways, and we ended up that year winning everything we went for. You know, about 7 trophies in 1 year, and. Which is quite a lot, as you think.
Okay, then. So now we're going on to question time. I'm going to put you both to the test a little bit now.
some of the names of the players that you played alongside, some of the great players that you played alongside, who, you know, so if I said to you, who's the greatest players that you've played alongside or you've played against, what names? Because we do love names on this show.
Well, there's Jinnah Burkitt was Alan Burkitt.
Yeah.
The name was Jinnah. I think he was one of the better players.
Because he would have played, he played alongside you at Rail then?
Yes, at Rail. But mind you, he moved actually from Rail when I went there that year. And he'd moved to Worthington Simpsons for 1 year.
He didn't last long at Simpsons.
But he didn't last very long
was,
there.
No, his heart was somewhere and, else.
I think he came back to British Railways then. And we played at British Railways for quite a few years.
So if I sort of you want to nominate it's Jinnah.
I think so.
Eric, where are you?
Well, I played with the likes of Jack Fryer, Judd, Hugh Gill, Roland Richardson, Colin Goddard. There's one or two lads from the Forces that used to play who were exceptionally good players. They had a pretty good side. Some were like the journeyman players because they were in the RAF and they'd be available for some weeks and then not available for other weeks. But they were all quality players and you could rely on them. They knew what to do. They really did.
Because you've already said that Elm Avenue was a wonderful football stadium in those days. And most of the Newarken District League Cup Finals was...
Semi-finals.
And was played on there, and generally it was Worthington Simpsons and British Rail and Balderton and Ransom and Mars, and you was all there, you know, sort of...
I think the main pitch was Ransom and Mars. If you could get a final on Ransom and Mars, that was the pitch to be on at them days.
And those big crowds, Eric, weren't they, in those days, went to watch these finals?
Yes, there was in even league games. You'd get probably 1,000 people there for league games. There'd be many, many buses. Remember, not many people came in cars in those days. And there'd be busloads of people all around Bancroft Road, parked up going to the game. It's surprising how many people did get down there to watch the football.
You've got a long way to go yet, Mr. Smith, at Lowfields, to match those sort of crowds. This is not brilliant for radio, but Eric has brought in some of the medals. Eric, have you got those medals? Eric brought, and I'll try and take a photo of them and put them out on social media later, because nowadays you sort of get a plastic sort of trophy, don't you, that is thrown up in the loft and forgotten about. In the olden days, and Eric's got them out now, we're going to show them to Tony. In the olden days, you got gold and silver medals, and they were gold and silver medals.
And that's one of the team.
Tony, just take the mic, and just, if you read the back of some of those medals, look at the dates on those medals. Are those?
They're all that.
My father's.
We're talking about Eric's father's here, because 1928 was not Eric. So it's Eric and Billy's dad.
Dad was Pip. His name was Philip.
Right.
But everybody called him Pip.
He was a Ransom and Mars. We've got a photo.
Yes,
photo here. Ransom and Mars Football Club, 1927-1928. The winners of the Newarken District League Championship and the Newark Challenge Cup. Fantastic old photo.
I think in the days that Eric is talking about RHP being one of the...
Ransom and Miles.
Ransom and Miles being one of the quality playing surfaces, or one of the best around. I would imagine that was the time when Eric Webster was the groundsman, though, was it?
Yes, it was.
Because Eric also was the groundsman of the cricket pitch.
Cricket, that's right.
Where Nottinghamshire played because of the quality of the wicket. So it's...
You never trained on the pitch. You never trained on Ransom and Mars pitch. It was only there for match days. Just to even walk on the...
You'd be in trouble.
You was in trouble.
You was in trouble. That's the way it should be. And so I'm going to try and put a picture of these wonderful old medals that Eric has brought in on our social media pages a little later on. Finally, for this little section, your biggest memory of your playing days. We'll talk about watching in a minute, but your biggest memory... that you're going to take from your playing days? What was the highlight, Eric?
Well, I think one of the highlights was not football, was the boys club, the running, because we weren't really runners. We'd been co-opted to run for the boys club athletics side, and to go to Nottingham in the National Association of Boys Club, and then to see all that table full of trophies, and every single trophy on the table went to a boys club member.
And we bring them back.
Was something rather special.
Billy, is it Forest?
No, I don't think it is Forest, actually. I think my biggest memory is with my daughter, Lynn. And that was playing in the stadium at London for hockey.
See, that's a dad, isn't it?
She used to stand on that pitch watching me every Saturday. Every Saturday afternoon, she'll be stood there, and then for her to come through on the hockey pitches and hockey matches.
And what I do still like now, what I think is lovely, is we still see Lynn and we still see Clive watching football now, don't we?
Yeah.
The father in your footsteps.
Yes. Yeah.
So if you're listening, get yourself down to Lowfields. But we still see them too on a regular basis, don't we?
Yes.
Yes.
It's brilliant. Right, and we're going to have a quick chat about what's coming up this weekend, and there isn't that much coming up this weekend, to be honest. And then we're going to talk about these two watching football.
Okay, Christmas does seem to be coming because sport is winding down, Mr. Smith, but not for Newhook Flowserve, because they've got three away matches in the next 8 days. Gedlin, Belper and Hina. And again, it's three matches where they're going to have to take 9 points, really, isn't it?
Well, we'll have to if, you know, we're going to... It doesn't look like Selston and Sherwood are going to drop many points. And so if the game at home to Selston on the 29th of December is going to be the game that it's being billed to be, then we've got to stay up there on a par with them. We've both got 50 points and Selston have got a game in hand, but the pressure on them now is to win it.
And you've just hit Gedlin as they've... hit a bit of form, so that should be interesting. Collingham travel to Thorn in the Central Midlands, and you're supposed to give gifts for Christmas, and that's certainly not a gift that they've given them. But it should be 3 points. Thorn are second from bottom, so it's a game that Collingham have got to win if they're going to have any sort of say in who's going to win that division. Collingham have got to come back from South Yorkshire with 3 points. It's as simple as that.
I was very surprised that Collingham lost at Selston in the cup.
I was amazed because I was playing Gedlin.
So, sorry, lost at Gedlin in the cup. It's Southall.
You see the problems I have, can't you?
I was getting mixed up with Southall losing at Southall in the cup.
He criticises me for not pressing a button hard enough.
But, I think Collingham have got some bouncing back to do, haven't they?
Yes. Newark Town travelled to Staveley for the first match under Damo Parkinson, and he spoke to us on Monday night, the first media outlet for him that he spoke to, so I was quite proud about that, and we wish Damo all the best on his trip to Staveley. Apparently, last night's training session, new and old players, and it seemed to go well for him, so best of luck to Damo.
Damo went down to training at the sports hub on Tuesday night for Flowserve training, and the players... Every single one of them came across and shook his hand and wished him well. So which was a nice touch.
New rugby club, they're also going to Derbyshire. They're playing Ashbourne. Boyd by the... Boyd is probably about the right word. You needed a boy last week out there because it was that wet. Of course, Ashbourne...
Nice link.
Skill that, you know. Ashbourne beat Melbourne.
Yeah.
On Melbourne's own pitch last week, because Melbourne had sort of played 9-1-9, and Ashbourne go and win. So Newark are in Ashbourne exactly at the time they've hit some form. The Newark ladies, the only hockey this weekend is Newark ladies on the Sunday. They travel to Doncaster. It's the over 35s. They travel to Doncaster for a game on Sunday. We wish Katie all the best, because apparently she's the one that got the ball in the face. She was at Fracture Clinic on Monday, and Lynn Coombs was at Fletcher Clinic also on Monday because she's broke her wrist, which serves her right for not playing for Newark. And Adam Holland's back in town for the weekend for his Mara.
I hope he finds it.
He knows where the showground is. He's going to be there Saturday and Sunday. If you're not running, just go down and say hello to him. It's a long time since we've had a chat to Adam. We've got to put that one right in the new year. And that is all that's happening that I know about. this weekend. So we wish them all the best of luck. Right, back to you guys, because when you finish playing football, let's just get that one right. Because, Eric, you seem to play forever.
Well, I played and refereed until 1996. And then I did pack up playing and refereeing in 1996. And it was supposed to be the final of the Newark Cup between the team that Clive was playing for, Ransomman RHP, and Aslockton, and I was the referee. I offered to withdraw because Clive was playing, but both teams wanted me to referee, and there was no objection, so I did actually referee the game, and my own son was playing in the final.
Common sense.
They actually lost 3-1 against Aslockton that particular time.
And was he a good boy?
As far as I remember, I didn't book him. No.
Are you sure he was playing?
One of the few referees in Newark not to book him. Probably.
Poor old Clive. When did you finish, Billy? Because I actually can't remember you playing.
Yeah, I played for Railways. I'm trying to think when now.
You see, my problem is I was a Simo's boy. Yeah. I used to watch them, and I won't watch Railways. So.
I can't remember actually when I actually finished. Roughly when Railways was getting past some of the better players, and it's like any team, you seem to drift away, and that's what happened.
Did you start automatically watch it, or did you have time out, so to speak? Because I've known you both for years of avid watchers of local football.
No, I also managed Southwell Boys team that Clive was playing for from under 11 to under 18, I think it was. And so I was involved with Southwell up until Clive was about 18 when he moved over to Flowserve.
I think that's another one. I'm learning some stuff tonight. I really am. Then you, obviously, we've been playing for Flowserve, IDP, whatever those called in those days. You would be watching.
Yes, I've watched the game since 1996, I suppose.
And Billy, you would obviously spend time watching Lynn play hockey.
Yes. Well, if you can, not too much really, because I was playing some of the time, right? But because she'd moved away, Lynn had, and she was down in Brighton and them areas playing down at college. And obviously you can't go all the way down there. I just got involved with this football, and after that I just decided to go and watch football.
So what do you both think about amateur football now, sort of the where we are now at grassroots, or whatever they like to call it these days, because it's not really amateur, is it?
I actually go to see my grandson now. He's playing quite good football, and I go Sunday mornings, and you can see the coaches are coaching them that much. They're not letting the flair come out. If you pass the ball back, you don't lose it. You pass the ball back, you don't lose it. And I think it's a lot of coaching in football nowadays.
Did you enjoy the olden days?
Yes.
Better?
Yes.
I mean, I did.
You had quality players who would play and put the ball through and really take people on. Nowadays, it's lost it.
Well, I played with some good players, but we also had to work hard for one another. And that was really part of the game. You did work for one another. You simply played to win. And we've always had the same attitude, both my brother and I. If we're going to turn up to a game, we want to play to win. And you do your best to win, whatever.
The raging debate at the moment is the Simo's best centre-forward debate, and, you know, we have to keep coming back to it on a regular basis, because the wonderful Sam Agar is quality. Without a shadow of a doubt, that lad is quality. Now, is he the best centre forward that's ever graced Lowfield? I don't know, because he hasn't been there that long. You've seen lots of centre forwards. You've named one already in Jinnah, who only had a short time at Slough, I know, but so you've named Jinnah. Gary Breeden, Mark Gore, Jerry Booth.
Jerry Booth was a very good player. He was a worker, and I like to see players that work. And the some of the Flowcert lads who work the socks off week in, week out. Jammy Lloyd, he runs forever. And, you know, the midfield create the chances for the forward line. They put the forward line through quite often, and Jammy Lloyd is always running towards the goal when there's a ball coming in, and he'll pick up a few balls that have been knocked back out, and he'd do it week in, week out. He always seems to get a chance of scoring, simply because of his work rate.
There you go, you see.
Very true.
There you go. So, who knows? Are you enjoying what you're seeing at Lowfields at the minute?
Yes. As an ex-referee, I wish that some of the players would accept the refereeing decisions and not argue with the referee, because there's far too many of the Flowserve players being booked for trivial offences, which they'd get away with if they just did not go to the referee when there was an incident. The same players week in, week out, and they're getting booked, and it will count against them towards the end of the season.
I've just got to reply to a message I've just seen. Lynn, if you'd been playing for Newark, you wouldn't have broken your wrist. It's as simple as that. So, you know, it can't be that harsh, can it? Gents, thank you so much for coming in. It's been a wonderful night. Wonderful night reminiscing, and I've really enjoyed it and learned a little bit as well. And Tony, just take that mic. It's gents like these two here that's the backbone of local football.
Yeah, I hate to say it because it sounds disloyal to the current Flowserve lads, but these two guys played in football when it was actually a contact sport. And I think that's the biggest difference these days. Yes. And it is true. It's not nostalgia. It's not old farts talking. It is the fact that football was a great, great experience in those days.
Eric and Billy Coombs, thank you so much for coming in tonight and spending an hour with us on Radio Newark Sport. And I'm sure you've got a lot more to tell us, and we're going to have to drag you back again sometime in 2019. That's another week gone. Whatever you're doing this weekend, sport, enjoy it, smile, and let's hope all the Newark teams win. Bye-bye.